There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Den letzten Baum zerstört, den letzten Fluss die Klarheit sehen, den letzten wilden Hass bekehrt, der letzte Vogel nicht mehr singt, die letzte Straße angekommen, der letzte Wald zum Parkplatz wird, der letzte Krieg endlich gewonnen, der letzte Strand mit Öl verschmiert. Werdet ihr erst dann einsehen, dass ihr euer schönes Geld auf der Bank nicht essen könnt, welche Menge ihr auch nennt.
In post-war Germany, Fasia Jensen was called the Black Bard of the Ruhr, the architect of a more just world. She died on December 27, 1997. Frieda Worden interviewed her longtime partner, Ellen Diedrich.
My name is Ellen Diedrich. I'm from Germany, and it's difficult to say my friend, comrade, companion, and partner, Fasia Jensen, died December last year.
What was the exact day?
It was the 27th of December.
And when was she born?
She was born in 1929 in Hamburg. Her mother was white and her father was a black diplomat from Liberia. Her mother worked for this diplomat as a maid, so she took care of the children. This diplomat was married and he had several of his children were over, and so Fasia's mother worked for him and they fall in love, and so Fasia was born out of this relationship.
After she was born, did she have any more relationship with her father?
Well, she had, but in 1933 the Nazis took over Germany. I mean, they came into power, and so he left the country and he went back to Liberia. But later on the family tried, when it was getting so hard for people of color or for everyone except a certain kind of white race of white people, which would be the only one who would be accepted by the Nazis. So all other people, Jewish people and what you would call gypsies, but they are Roma or Sinti people, and also people of color were not only persecuted but killed. And Christian people who stood up against the system, trade unionists and people from the left and social democrats, and so they were all put either in prison or in concentration camps. So it was really a very difficult time. So, as I said, the father went back and the family went back to Liberia, and they tried to keep in contact with her, and the family wanted Fasia to leave Germany and to come to live with them in Liberia. And it was a very rich family. It was one of the 10 richest families in Liberia, and she could have a very good life in connection to material conditions. But the mother wouldn't let her go, and she wanted to be with Fasia and to keep her in Germany.
Then what happened?
Well, what happened? First, I don't know whether you can imagine how it must have been. I saw a picture of her school class, and about 40, 50 children, white children, mostly blonde children, and right in the middle, one dark point, and this was Fasia. The mother told us how difficult it was for her to get an apartment with Fasia because she had this black child, and then once she got an apartment, and the second day, the son of the landlord, he tried to rape her because he was thinking, oh, she has a black child, so you can do whatever you want with her. And Fazia's mother told us also that she, at one point, she thought she couldn't go on, and she just wanted to go with Fazia into the river. Fazia was a baby still, and she had Fazia on her arms and was crawling through the fence. But then she couldn't do it. She couldn't commit suicide and kill Fazia at the same time. But it must have been very, very hard. So she grew up in the proletariat area of Hamburg, and her mother later married a German man. He was working at the port in Hamburg first, and he was a communist and was put in prison and in concentration camp because he was a communist. And in this particular area, Fazia was known, but as soon as she left this neighborhood, she was really discriminated. I mean, children would throw stones on her, and she stayed at home, and she didn't want to go out and so on. And then she had an aunt, and this aunt told her and taught her how to fight back, just, and this is what she did.
The world has grown so small now, there's no place left to hide. Time has come for choosing life or to die. Mit Worten rüstet sich da. Nehmen den Irrsinn nicht in Kauf. Wir sind nicht Figuren im Schach. Die Sonne.
Later on, every girl at the age of 15 or 16 was forced to give 1 year of work in different social activities. And so because Fazia was black, they were saying, so she cannot work in a family with many children, or so like the others did. They said, oh, she can work in a concentration camp. And in that time, Hamburg was terribly bombed, and there was one concentration camp close to Hamburg, which was Neuengamme. And a part of the prisoners, mostly Jewish women from Hungary and Poland, they were forced to march every morning 10 or up to 15 kilometers from the camp, and had to work in Hamburg that the streets could become clear again. And Fazia was then forced to work there. And she was working in this kitchen together with war prisoners or with people who had been forced to leave their countries. I mean, they were just taken away from all the countries Germany had occupied, like the Ukraine, from Russia, etc. And Fazia was telling me what they cooked in big pots. It was a kind of terribly smelling soup with old potatoes and rotten vegetables and so. And then she and a boy from the Ukraine, Nikolai, he was 16, these two children, and in winter it was very cold, and they had wooden shoes, and so they were carrying then this soup to the women. And Fazia said how she saw women, like the women were fighting each other, or how the women were beating each other to get at least some food, to get some of the soup. And we lived 17 years together, Fazia and I, and sometimes these rememberings came up very strongly. So she had the smell again, the smell of the soup, but also the smell of the women who were not able to wash themselves, and when they had their period, it was a certain smell or so, and sometimes during nights, the smell would come up to Fazia again, even after almost 50 years that this had happened. The other thing what came up along with the smell was the sound, how it sounded when the Nazi guards were beating the women. They had wooden sticks, and it was like as if wood would hit wood, because the women were only bones and skin anymore.
song so poor, how loud they roar with the pride and the parade. Guns and drums and shattering sounds, all their bombs and the grenades. The song of peace and the whisper is a soft and gentle song, but it drowns out all the songs of war when we all sing along. Peace on earth, peace on earth, if we all
Fozzie was 16 when the war ended. Because of medical experiments the Nazis performed on her, she was very ill. Doctors gave her only 2 years to live. She never recovered her physical health.
Since she was so young, when she came out of the camp, the other prisoners who survived the concentration camps, they told her, well, you have to keep on telling people what you have seen because you have lived it. Fozzie took this very serious. She really wanted to tell people about it, and then she started to sing in a choir in Hamburg, and then they discovered that she had a wonderful voice, and then she started to perform.
Die Elder 10.000 Löcher, da wächst kein Baum dahin. Raketen stehen und schweigen, weil sie auf Menschen zeigen, wo du bist und wo ich auch bin. Leute, wo wir wohnen, muss Platz für alle sein, für Haus und Baum und Gras und Wind und für die Stadt, in der wir sind. Die Stadt hat 10.000 Bäume, die tragen grünes Laub. Da will ich mit dir lachen und abends lange fachen, dass kein Feuer bläst sie zu Staub. Leute, wo wir wohnen, Platz für alle sein, für Haus und Baum und Gras und Wind und für die Stadt, in der wir sind. Die Sonne hat 9 Planeten, 8 Sterne in Glut und Eis. Nur wo wir sind, ist Leben, das wird uns nicht vergeben, wenn wir's vertun für keinen Preis. Leute, wo wir wohnen, muss Platz für alle sein, für Haus und Baum und Gras und Wind und für die Stadt, in der wir sind. Leute, wo wir wohnen, muss Platz für alle sein, für Haus und Baum und Gras und Wind und für die Stadt, in der wir sind.
Fozzie and I, we met at the Easter marches against the nuclear bomb, which the first Easter march started in 1959 in Great Britain, in England, led by a man who was one of my first heroes, so to say. It was Lord Bertrand Russell, the Nobel Prize winner, and I was so amazed. I saw a photograph of him blockading the entrance of Aldermaston, which was the British Nuclear Research Center close to London. And he was about 85 or so, and he did nonviolent action, sitting in front to blocking. And I was so amazed by this, because having heard about all these violence Germany has started and about what has happened in the war, we were searching out for nonviolent actions where we could express what we wanted and so on. So the Easter marches started in 59 in Great Britain and came in 1960 to Germany. and 61 into this area where I live. It's the big industrial area, and since then, almost every year over Easter, in 3 days we march across the whole industrial area in demanding for nuclear disarmament. And through the years was a march against the Vietnam War, and so we took up several issues, but it was always nonviolent and always connected very strongly to the international movement. So this is where I met Fasia for the first time as the singer. I didn't know her personally then. She was a very well-known singer, then became a very well-known singer in the peace movement and in the labor movement. And she has made many songs, written many songs. It's very interesting because usually you can connect songs to the singer, like, you know, this song is written by John Baez or Pete Seeger, or, I mean, if I would compare with singers here in the US. But Fasia's songs were our songs. So, I mean, we heard her singing and then they became our songs. So it was, and this might be an expression of how she was. She could have made a big career with her voice, and she had many offerings to records, and I mean big companies wanted her, but she never wanted. She wanted to be with the people, and this was how her whole life was. So if there was a strike at a factory or so, you could be sure Fasia would be at 6 a.m. there when the strike started, or even if it was in winter and afterwards would be very sick or so. But she wanted to stick with the people. She never wanted to have any kind of property or something like that. She was really where the struggle was. And this made her very special in a way. And it would be really difficult to find a demonstration or so where this black point wasn't in it.
I was watching the news tonight, and all over the world, people were singing in carrying signs, all over the world. Everybody walking hand in hand, through the cities I've been. And so I'm not there tonight. I know I'll be back again. I'll be back again. I'll be back again. I'm on a plane tonight for Germany. And all over the world, there are lots of people just like you and me, all over the world. You know the bombs must never fall again, all over the world. And we must all learn how to live and win, all over the world, all over the world, all over the world. We are making the news tonight, all over the world, because we know that what we do is right, all over the world. Everybody walking hand in hand, all over the world, through the streets of Europe and Japan, all over the world, all over the world, all over the world.
So we met again in 1981, this was the first Women's Peace March initiated by women from Scandinavia. We marched from Copenhagen to Paris, calling out for nuclear-free zones and talking to every town parliament along the road, to every mayor, and asking and demanding that they should declare their city or area nuclear-free zone. So this is where I met Fasia again. And I was very glad to meet her again. And so we had a lot of discussions during the marches. And then I was asked to organize a program for a big theater in this area, in this industrial area. And I knew that Fazia had worked with all the different women groups who were struggling for jobs. In that time, lots of the mines were shut down in Germany, or the steel factories were shut down. And so the wives of miners, the wives of steel workers, gathered together. Before they were housewives or so, they were not into any politics. But they really struggled very hard. And so we organized this theater play together, invited all these different groups. And so this is how we started to work together, each other, and then we started to have a relation. And this lasted until last December. And since that time, if I look back, I think we have done a tremendous, tremendous amount of international activities, from El Salvador to Yugoslavia. We have really trying to organize around issues of war, issues of oppression, issues of poverty, issues of human rights, women's rights. We went to Nairobi, where we worked in this peace tent, where women from so-called enemy countries could negotiate with one another. In Nairobi, at the conference, at the UN conference, she was called the rich voice of peace. And in fact, several times when the dialogues in the peace tent were getting really very hard and tense, Fazia just would start to sing. And she had a very good sense when it's good to sing, and then she could move people again to another point. And I often saw this in when there were big rallies and people were concerned about a serious thing, and then their faces were very serious and so. And then when Fazia started to sing, they could breathe. So this is what she did to people. She gave them the opportunity to breathe again.
Der 8. März ist Frauentag international. Die Straßen sehen heute anders aus, keine von uns bleibt zu Haus. Wir gehen kämpfen, Unrecht dämpfen, nieder mit dem Patriarchat. Im Auge behalten, dass Herren walten, noch in jedem Staat. Hey, hey, Frauen wissen schon, wir brauchen Emanzipation. Hey, hey, Frauen wissen schon, wir brauchen Emanzipation.
We did a women's caravan tour 1987, half a year all across Europe. It was before the Berlin Wall fell. We wanted to cross the Iron Curtain to see how women live in those countries, which they said would be our enemy countries. And we tried to find out how is the history of war present in the consciousness of women all over Europe. And we tried to talk to former partisans, to survivors of concentration camps. So we went to different of the former camps. We went to Ravensbrück, the women's concentration camp, where almost 100,000 women and children have been killed. We went to Auschwitz, we went to Bergen-Belsen, etc., all along the road. And it was very difficult to do this trip as a German, and because as more far you would come to the east, as and saw all these destruction, and still the remembrance of the people, and especially of women, because all of them had a story to tell what happened to their families in the war. But on the other hand, we were really struck how welcomed we were to, I mean, as people from the other side, so to say, I mean, from NATO countries or whatsoever, crossing the border and crossing the Iron Curtain and try to talk and to find out about our daily lives and about our wishes. And so we had to see that it's not very different. I mean, we were not different. We, the ordinary people, have never been enemies. This was a great undertaking. And so it went on, and we did many different things. And then we did the Four Directions tour in Germany, where we were trying to struggle racism by selling products which women had been made from different parts of the world, talking about their culture, and informing people about the history of other cultures. And so this was one way. We worked a lot with refugees in Germany and tried to struggle the unbelievable growing neo-fascism. This was one thing Fasia was really affected by, because we never ever thought that this could happen again, that there was a rising neo-fascist movement in Germany. And I remember one day Fasia was beaten on the street, in the street where we live, and she was with her mother, and somebody hit her and she fell down. And another time a taxi driver would refuse to take us with him in the taxi cab. And so this was really very, very hard for her. And the other thing was, she was a socialist and was connected to the socialist countries because she felt liberated by the Red Army in during the time of fascism. And I think the changes and that capitalism has defeated, so to say, the socialist countries, was also another point which really, it was very difficult for her. She felt emotionally close to the socialist countries and to the socialist ideas, even if she was a person who would never ever have agreed with any kind of hierarchical structures in parties. She was very spontaneous and emotional, and several times she got persecution because she was blockading something and so. But then she was also awarded with the highest award of Germany because of her peace work. And 1 month before she died, the two of us got the Ring of Honor of the city where we live in Oberhausen. Fasia was in a wheelchair, so she couldn't get up. So the mayor fell on his knees before Fasia and gave her this. There were about 1,500 people came to the funeral, people from all different political parties, from all different political backgrounds, from communists to Christian Democrats, from the trade unions to the peace movement, the feminist movement. I mean, they were all over there, because Fasia was a cross point. She could unite people together, and she was saying, we have to be a challenge to the system, and therefore we have to unite. This is what she was struggling for.
Ellen Diedrich, talking about her partner, German folk singer and peace activist Fasia Jensen, who died on December 27, 1997. For Wings, I'm Mary O'Grady.
Wenn ihr den letzten Fisch gefangen, die letzte Erde aufgeteilt, die letzte Bombe hochgegangen, die letzten Ernten sind verseucht, die letzte Mutter kinderlieb, der letzte Mensch durch Folter stirbt, der letzte Gott den Segen gibt, der letzte Hitler für sich wehrt, werdet ihr erst dann einsehen, dass ihr euer schönes Geld auf der Bank nicht essen könnt, beschwänge ihr auch nicht.
There is more information about Fasia Jensen's music, her papers, and two films about her at the Peace Archive in Oberhausen, Germany. For information about this and other Wings radio programs, email wings@wings.org.
Our new website is wingsradio.org. Thank you to all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.